Sometimes I'm asked the question, is Cary Alliance Church part of a denomination? And that question might be positive in nature or negative in nature. It depends upon the generation. Some folks want to be part of a bigger organization. Others are like, oh, denominations, entanglements. We're part of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. And something that's good about that is that we care for and we work together with other like-minded organizations and churches. Back in 2011, that had a direct effect upon the life of Cary Alliance Church. Faith Alliance Church and Garner had been really struggling for a number of years. And the decision was before the denomination whether to close that church or what to do with it. And the district superintendent got a bright idea right in the middle of the night and called Pastor Gregory first thing in the morning and said, you guys need to have a satellite campus in Garner. Now, that was nowhere on the plans of Cary Alliance, but the elders prayed about it, presented it to the church, and the church took a vote and said, yes, we want to take on that project and to see what God might do in Garner through the efforts of Cary Alliance Church. And so for 2 years, a lot of you don't know this. We had a service at 8:30 in the morning, and then immediately after preaching, Pastor Gregory would be driven over to Garner, and he would preach in a service there in Garner, and then he would drive back in time to step in the pulpit here at Cary Alliance at 11:30. That was not a very sustainable model, but as Cary Alliance Church sent a group of our own leaders over there, as we invested some in the property, as Pastor Gregory put a lot of time and effort and prayer into that ministry, things started to happen. In 2013, Pastor Alan Springer, who was in ministry as part of the team at First Alliance Church in Raleigh, preached in this pulpit exactly 3 years ago. Is that right, Alan? Preached in this pulpit as kind of the launch of his ministry in Garner. And for the last 3 years, Alan has been leading the ministry there, and the Lord has blessed in tremendous ways. We have been able to pray. We've been able to support that work as it has continued to grow. And exciting things are happening. Next Sunday will be the official organization and launch of Faith Community Church of Garner, North Carolina, as its own ministry within the body of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. And we're just thankful. Thankful to the Lord for what He did. Instead of that thing shutting down and everybody wondering what's going to happen in Garner now, God chose to establish, to re-establish a light for the gospel as Faith Community Church in Garner. So I'd like you to welcome Pastor Alan this morning as he shares with us. Alan and Angela and their four kids live in Garner, and we are going to continue to pray and bless you in our prayers as the Lord blesses through your ministry there.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alan.
Well, you're a little bigger than the Garner Church. We have about 110 people. Well, you got that just in that like section right there, right? I feel loud up here. That's good. I think you can hear me. I can hear me. We're good. I want to just start out by saying thank you. It is an absolute pleasure for me to be able to join with you in worship today. I was at the Garner Church this morning. Everybody's like, what are you doing here? Aren't you supposed to be in Cary? And I said, actually, we're going to send John Blasey, who's filling the pulpit for me there. I said, we're going to send him over to Cary. We'll just play a switcheroo on him. And they're like, you better not. And I was like, no, I wouldn't miss it. But I just needed to be there with my people and loving on them and them loving on me. And we prayed together this morning there. And I can just honestly tell you, I am excited to be here, because God has been doing some great things, and I want to share that with you this morning. I want to say thank you for all of you who have partnered with Faith Alliance Church, now Faith Community Church. Some of you have partnered in direct ways. Some of you sang in Christmas cantatas there. Others came in and painted walls, threw away trash. You brought in children's curriculum. When we came into the church, there was just so much that had already been done, and then there was more to be done, and more walls were painted, and decorating was done, and it's just been a beautiful thing to watch what God has been doing in that church over these last 3 years. You've, whether you know it or not, you've invested hundreds of hours of hard work, whether it's been in a meeting here, in prayer on your knees, giving financially, but most importantly, the greatest work that's been done in Garner, I believe, has been the work of prayer. Because if God had not been moving, the Garner Church would be closed. Somebody had told me when we first came in January of 2013, Alan, you've got 2 years to get this thing up off the ground, and in 2 years, you're either pastoring the church or you're selling the church. And that was a scary, scary thought. And honestly, it was terrible, terrible advice. Because then, what did I start doing? I started going, I've got to make this thing go. And it became, in my mind, at least at some level, about me. And it didn't take me long to realize I can't do this. So 3 years later, here we are. The church is now an independent, vibrant, disciple-making congregation living out her biblical mandate to make disciples. The church that we walked into of about 35 people this morning will probably have 115 or so worshiping, even as we're worshiping here in this room. God has been doing great things. So, with all that good news, what is the text that I believe the Lord put on my heart to share with you this morning? It's from Job. Job, of all places. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to encourage you to turn with me to the book of Job, chapter 36. We're going to jump right into the middle, give you a little bit of context on the book of Job as you're turning there, just to make sure we're all on the same page here. Job is usually thought of as primarily a book about suffering, but it's a book not just about suffering, but it's also a book about God's sovereignty. And God's sovereignty stands and remains the same whether it is in a time of suffering or a time of success. And so as we read from Job chapter 36 and 37, I'm going to pick up in 36 beginning at verse 24, reading through 37:14, and then we're going to spend almost all of our time camping out from verse 5 of chapter 37 and radiating out to those other verses that I've read. So when I get to 37:5, would you do me something just to help me out? Would you, I don't know if that was proper English, but we'll roll with it. When you get to 37:5, will you read with me 37:5? Is a declaration of God's word. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. It'll be up on the slide behind me, so you can read along there so we're all reading the same thing. But follow along, and let's hear the word of the Lord. Remember to extol his work of which men have sung. All mankind has looked on it. Man beholds it from afar. Behold, God is great, and we know him not. The number of his years is unsearchable. For he draws up of water, they distill his mist and rain, which the sky pours down and drops on mankind abundantly. Can anyone understand the spreading of the clouds, the thunderings of his pavilion? Behold, he scatters his lightning about him and covers the roots of the sea. For by these he judges peoples. He gives food in abundance. He covers his hands with the lightning and commands it to strike the mark. Its crashing declares his presence. The cattle also declare that he rises. At this also my heart trembles and leaps out of its place. Keep listening to the thunder of his voice and the rumbling that comes from his mouth. Under the whole heaven he lets it go, and his lightning to the corners of the earth. After it, his voice roars. He thunders with majestic voice. He does not restrain the lightnings when his voice is heard. Join with me. God thunders wondrously with his voice. He does great things that we cannot comprehend. For to the snow he says, fall on the earth. Likewise to the downpour, his mighty downpour. And he seals up the hand of every man, that all men whom he made may know it. Then the beasts go into their lairs and remain in their dens. From its chamber comes the whirlwind and cold from the scattering winds. By the breath of God, ice is given and the broad waters are frozen fast. He loads the thick cloud with moisture. The clouds scatter his lightning. They turn around and around by his guidance to accomplish all that he commands them on the face of the habitable world. Whether for correction or for his land, or for love, he causes it to happen. Hear this, O Job. Stop and consider the wondrous works of God. Let's pray. Lord, You are mighty and powerful. You display Your character in Your creation. We have but to look around the world that You have created and see that You are a great and mighty and powerful God. And while we may not fully grasp all of who You are or what You are doing, we do see in the weather, as Elihu has pointed out here, and also in the good news of what You've been doing in Your church, we can see, God, that You are still moving. And in so much as You are moving in us, we are growing in You, and we can grow in our faith and trust in You. So give us eyes to see and hear, Lord, this morning. Give us minds to comprehend. Give us hearts to receive and a will to respond. Amen. Do you believe that God does great things? Do you believe that God does great things that you cannot comprehend? I amen that one, especially. Well, this morning I want to talk specifically about two areas that we see God doing great things. And to begin with, I want to begin right here in Job 36 and 37 and looking what Elihu has to say about God's great things. And we see God's doing His doing great things in the weather. And so that's our first point. There's a picture that's going to show up with lightning. And I don't know about you, but I grew up in Florida. I grew up around an incredible amount of lightning. I actually love sitting on my back porch now and just watching the lightning. And this week, as I was reading the entire book of Job from beginning to end, it was a wonderful week to read the book of Job because there was thunder and lightning and rain. And I went to a coffee shop that had all glass windows and sat by those windows. It felt safer there than on my back screen and back porch. And I sat there and read through the book of Job. And as I read it and didn't just read the word, but saw the word coming to life as God was striking with lightning and you could hear thunder, I was just amazed at how God's word just came alive. Elihu is this young man. He comes on the scene right after Job's friends have offered him some terrible advice. And we read in 32:5 that he was actually quite angry as he's responding to Job. He has kind of a youthful angst about him. And he gives Job a very clear and compelling explanation as to what's happened in Job's life. If you know the story of Job, you know Job suffered immensely and was really struggling in to believe God and to believe God was good and to believe that God was still at work. And what does Elihu tell Job here? 36:24, we read this. He says to remember to extol. Extol what? To extol God's work. And then 36:26, he says, God is great. We don't know Him. We may not fully grasp Him, but God is great. He is powerful. And he links this God's work and God's power in 37:5, where he says, God does great things that we cannot comprehend. Elihu connects God's greatness with God's activity. God doesn't just declare He's great. He demonstrates His greatness on this earth. And He does it in hard things, and He does it in blessings. Blessed be Your name in the road marked with suffering. When there's pain in the offering, blessed be Your name. You know that song? And blessed be Your name when I'm found in the desert place and I walk through the wilderness, blessed be Your name. See, that's where Job was. But we also know that we are to bless His name. And that's the easy time to bless His name, to praise Him, to exalt Him, to extol His works in the easy times. This is actually the most wonderful time to come in and preach in this pulpit, as God is moving and we say God is doing great things. But if 3 years from now I come here again and preach and the church has shrunk and we're struggling, can we still bless God's name? Can we still declare that God does great things we don't understand at that? Absolutely. So I'm glad to be here at this point. I pray that point doesn't ever come. But if it does, we need to remind each other that God is still great and does great things. Elihu wanted Job to realize that God was at the wheel, and he tells him repeatedly to look and see what God has done in the weather. In 36:27, he tells Job that God draws up the water and sends it back down as rain. God's in control of the water cycle. He tells Job in 36:29 that God spreads the clouds and makes the thunder. He makes the lightning bolts and tells them where it'll hit in 36, verse 30 through 32. He tells Job that God brings judgment and blessing on whomever he wants, and he uses even storms to do it. And we know Jesus said in Matthew 5:45 that God allows the sun to shine and the rain to fall on the righteous and the unrighteous. His blessings and his wrath is poured out on all as he so desires. And in 37:6, he makes the snow fall. And in 37:13, he says that God makes long, bitter winters or gentle, warm winters like the wonderful one we've been having for his purpose. He does it for his purpose, for his correction, ultimately for his glory. But the headlines I read this week was North Pole spikes almost 50 degrees. Poor Santa Claus. 43 killed in weather-related incidents across the United States. Evacuations underway near St. Louis due to historic flooding. God is still doing great things that we may not comprehend, even if they don't feel or seem like good things to us. And that's what Elihu wants Job to grasp. It's where I believe the Lord has us right now in Garner and today in God's Word. They're hearing the same message that you're hearing in a sense. We worked on the sermon together, knowing that it's important to celebrate what God is doing, but it's also important at this time to pause and to lay the foundation of our theology as it relates to God's providence, as it relates to God's sovereignty, to know that God does great things that we may not comprehend, and we see it in his blessing, and we see it even in times of trial. So we may not understand. And he says to Elihu says to Job in 36:24, so remember to extol, to make much of. Stop in 37:14, stop and consider the wondrous works. In 37:5, he says, God thunders wondrously with his voice. He does great things. Elihu is declaring over and over again all that God is doing. He is saying, I may not understand it. I may not grasp the full weight of it. I may not realize why God is doing this in us, but he is, and I'm going to give him the praise. When you look at the weather, and there's too much rain, or when the strawberries are $10 more than they should be because this winter has not started. Maybe it started today. I had ice on my truck as I got in this morning. Praise the Lord. Not going to be much of a skiing season, I don't think, this year. But one thing we know, despite whatever the weather is, whatever happens, we know God does great things that we may not understand. In Romans 15, we're told that God reveals himself in his creation so that none of us are without excuse. So whether it's hardship, blessing, we give him praise. We know he's great and he's doing great things. But what about Garner? What about what God's doing there? I want to switch gears now from specifically looking at Elihu and the weather to switching gears to talking about churches and church growth and church planting and church sustainability and things of that nature. So if we go to the next slide, I've got this image of these churches and with this kind of this picture of a vein going through them, kind of the vein of a leaf. And as we look at churches, we know that God does great things through his church. The church is God's first work, his final work, if you will, on bringing the message of the good news to the world. And so the church is significant. When I was in seminary, I had to take a course on church planting. They had flown in this church planting guy that was world renowned. He had just come in from Germany, where he had spent the last 6 months leading a church planting movement, was considered very successful in that region. And he came in and he taught. It was an intensive course for 2 weeks, and he taught every day for hours on church planting. But can I just tell you, my heart has never burned for church planting personally. Where my heart has always burned has been in the in specifically in the area of church revitalization. And so as I sat there in that class, I raised my hand and I asked the question, what would you say about applying these principles to a church that's struggling, a church that's dying, a church that's been stuck in a rut for years? And his response to me was startling and disappointing. He said, it's important for us to remember that it's easier to give birth than to raise the dead. Let the church close and plant a new work. I didn't like that answer. I still don't like the answer. Because I read in God's Word that we serve a God who can take a valley of dry bones and He can make it live again. We serve a resurrection power God who takes what is dying and struggling and He brings it to new life. And we, for whatever reason, sometimes forget that God does great things that we cannot comprehend. And sometimes He does it in struggling, dying churches and calls strong, healthy churches to come in alongside under His guiding hand to bring new life so that the proclamation of the gospel will go forth in a fresh way. And that's exactly what we've seen happen in Garner. I have to just tell you this. It's not in my notes. This morning, a couple came into our church. I was praying for them this week because I knew that they have a decision to make. They came into the Garner church about 6-7 months ago, and their church that they were a part of was in South Raleigh, had died. Many, many years of struggle. And they said, we don't really want to be here. This is like one of the first things they told me when they came. They said, we don't really want to be here. We really want to be in our old church, but for whatever reason, it's closed. And we've spent many, many years struggling there. About a month ago, they were approached by one of their former pastors who's now on staff with another church in Raleigh. And he came to them and said, would you be willing to come and be part of a relaunch team to replant, revitalize that church? And they said, we're not sure. And they've been praying and wrestling with that. And I knew that this week was the week they would be making that decision. As they came in this morning, the Garner Church, and we were talking, I said, so what has the Lord told you? And they said, we're going to be here next Sunday, this Sunday and next Sunday. And then the Lord's sending us back to go and replant, to revitalize, to see Him do a new work in our old church. I said, I couldn't be happier for you, because it's exactly what God has done here. And they have watched, kind of in the late phases, but they have watched and been a part of that. And now they're going to go and take that and do it again. God does great things we cannot comprehend. Oh, I don't want to lose them. They jumped in and started serving so quick, but I know it's exactly what God wants them to be about. 3 years ago when we launched into Garner, we knew it was exactly what God wanted us to be doing. But honestly, as a father of four kids, I was a little nervous. We were stepping into a church that really had no youth and children's ministry. And my kids, though a little bit reluctant at first, said, you know, Dad, we believe this is what God wants us to do. And about a year and a half ago, my youngest daughter, who tends to internalize more than any of my other kids, the others are more verbal, she wrote a one-page of just kind of her heart sense about what God had been doing in the church. And I just want to read one line of it to you. She wrote, our church would never have made it were it not for God's help. She could see what God was doing at the age of 9. I've got to make sure I got that age right. Nope, 11, age 11. My wife would be nodding her head right now. But man, you get it. Sorry. At 11 years old, she could see what God was doing. And it wasn't about what we were doing. It wasn't what you were doing. It was what God was doing through us. God does great things. He has provided for us gifted leaders. Even over the about 6 months ago, we were kind of lamenting that we needed some key ministry leaders for some areas that we knew we needed to pick up the reins on, but we didn't know how. And just at the point where I was kind of getting discouraged and wondering, God, what are you going to do? Then all of a sudden some new people came in, and I always ask everybody that comes into the church, there's just like this immediate expectation. You're not going to come here and sit and soak. I said, that's what your bathtub's for. I actually told that to a lady once on the phone. She came to the church anyways. You got to love those moments. And I said, there's a role here to play. You're a part of the body of Christ. And how do you see how God has wired you fitting in with here? And it was beautiful to sit and have breakfast with a couple people and or over coffee or just conversation in the hallway, and for them to say, well, I really feel like God's called me to this. And I'm like, wow, because that's exactly what God. And they're like, are you just saying that? No, I'm not just saying it. Like we've been praying for you. We just didn't know who you were yet. And God is moving in great ways that we just cannot comprehend. Oh, there have been battles and challenges and struggles. I haven't yet written a cease and desist, a resignation letter, there's the word. I haven't tried to write one of those. I haven't wanted to give up and quit at any point, though I have wanted to beat my head against a wall and say, God, what are you doing? I can't do this. I don't understand how to lead these people. I feel a little bit like Moses sometimes. But praise the Lord. I want to share some things. Maybe you've read this. I gave it to Pastor Ben. I think it went out or will be going out soon in the digital Trellis and Vine. But I want to share some highlights from that. One that isn't in there. On Friday night, we started an initiative called our 2016 Prayer Initiative, an area where we honestly have not been as strong as we said we knew we needed to be from the beginning. I expected about 12 people to show up. The most we've ever had show up to a prayer meeting was 4 or 5 over the last 3 years. I was praying for 12, and I was trying to touch base with people, and I told my leaders, you all better be there. You better be there. And so that was the 12 to 15 right there. And God totally exceeded my puny faith. We had 28 people. A third of our adults in our church came out for our prayer meeting on Friday night. God is doing great things that we just don't understand. And currently in our church of about 110 people, usually you hear of churches 90% of the work is being done by 10% of the people. But in our church, literally 75% of the adults are serving actively in the ministry of the church currently. That is beautiful testimony to God moving in his people. 60% of the adults are being discipled regularly in a community group. We have men engaged in homeless ministries and ladies engaged in crisis pregnancy ministry. People in our church are serving one another through their job losses, child losses, loss of parents. People are caring for each other and loving each other. We have young single women visiting older single widows. And we had a man over Christmas who packed up the keyboard at our church and a speaker and went to one of the shut-ins and did an hour-long Christmas concert for her in her living room. I mean, this is the people of God demonstrating the love of God because of the power of God, because God is doing great things in and through them, and things we just don't even understand. One lady wrote me this week, and she says, my husband and I were praying for the place where we could serve others, and God led us to this church. We both have been able to serve using our gifts God gave us, but also have been served in so many ways by people. God gave us a chance to meet people who love God and each other. I have been lifted up in prayer by so many. They've kept me focused. We're both so excited to see what God has for us in this next year. Man, God is doing great things that we cannot understand. We set a goal of 200 Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes. We hit 388. We were amazed ourselves. Now, I'm just going to tell you, we had an ace card. I don't know if you can say that. We had a God card, and it was this. We have a lady in our congregation who grew up in Haiti in an orphanage that received those Operation Christmas Child boxes as a kid, and that's how she heard the gospel. She ended up marrying a missionary from Garner, and they're back right now for a time until they go back. And I went, we're going to have you share your testimony. And she did. And I was like, come on, guys, you all need to take 5 more boxes now. It was just beautiful. So, you know, it was God doing great things that we didn't understand. Men are running with vision, literally running, building relationships with running groups in our community. We have others who are just strategically engaging in every opportunity that they can find. I want to share a story about one specific man in our church. He came into the church about a year and a half ago, and I can tell you his name because he'd tell you, he'd stand here today and tell you this testimony. His name is Brian. Brian came from a very rough background, and several years ago, Brian and his wife divorced, and she got full custody of the kids. He was in a state in his life that he should not have any care for his children. And he came to Garner about a year and a half ago, just coming through town. He said, I felt like God wanted me to come to church today. I walked here. He was staying with his sister. And he said, I don't know why I'm here today, but I feel like God wants me to be here. And I said, so what are you in town for? And are you moving here? He said, I don't know what I'm here for, except I'm trying to get custody of my kids. And we prayed for him in the parking lot and didn't see him again for another year. He showed back up again 6 months ago. God's been doing a lot in the last 6 months. And when he showed back up, I didn't recognize him. In the course of that time, he had lost about 100 pounds. And God had been moving in his heart. And he said, God began to move in my heart the day he brought me here. And he's continued to be working, to work in me. And I'm here because I really believe that God wants me to try to regain custody of my children. And I think I'm going to go and try to get them from my ex-wife. Another man in the church, and he more so than me, counseled him, don't do that. If you try to force your way in and do something, you are going to end up damaging that relationship with your ex-wife and with your kids more than you've already done. You may end up even doing something illegal and end up in jail. So he calls me one night. I'm in Greenville, South Carolina. He calls me and he's crying so uncontrollably I can barely understand him. He says, Alan, I've got my kids. I'm like, oh, no, you didn't. He says, my wife abandoned them. And I did exactly what you said. I went to the police and to Department of Social Services and I told them that I want to do this and I want to try to get custody of my kids and they're giving me custody of my kids and I'm doing it all legally. And my wife is in somewhere in Florida, I don't know where. And he says, but I knew you were the right person to call because I need you to pray for me. And he said, and I also called this other person at the church, another man in the church, and prayed with him and got some good godly counsel from him before I did any of this. Well, as a church, we've come alongside him, and his kids had the best Christmas they've ever had this year. People have bought Bibles for him and his kids. And last Sunday before church, he says, Alan, it's the craziest thing. Each night before I tuck my kids in bed, I'm reading God's word with them. And it's like alive. I'm like, yes, it is. It's living and active. That's what it says. And he goes, it's just amazing at what God's been doing in me and what he's teaching me through his words. And as I'm teaching to my kids, we can see that God is moving. And in this course of the church service, we gave an opportunity for people to give testimony. He stood up and just declared the greatness of God and what God's been doing in his life. And it was just one of these moments where I just went, God is doing great things. I knew last Sunday what I was preaching this, and I went, God, you truly are doing great things that we cannot comprehend. And you're doing it through Brian's, and you're doing it through each and every person in our church. Yeah, you can say amen to that. That's good news, people. That is good news. I've had people ask me, Alan, what is it that you did to make the church grow? And I can tell you, I did a lot wrong. There is no 1, 2, 3 for how to lead a church from struggle to strength. It's truly God's work. And I believe that. I'm more committed to that understanding now than I've ever been in my life. God has increased my faith and increased my reliance on him in ways that I did not expect. We know in Psalm 127, we're told that unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. But yet, for some reason, we in our own strength try to do things. Yes, we have a role to play, but if it's in our work and it's not in, if the work's not in him, guided by him, led by him, then we are circumventing his blessing and his great work in us. But I want to remind you that when Garner was shrinking, when Garner was closing, God was still moving greatly in ways we didn't understand. To prepare us for this day, to say to us, trust me, fall on your faces before me, take steps of faith, financial steps of faith, people steps of faith. I know that you gave up some incredible people from this congregation. I almost listed off their names, but I want to make sure God gets the glory. But God has, through His merciful guiding hand, has allowed you to release people. Our key ministry leaders, all of them, came from Cary Alliance Church. The pulpit Phil this morning, the worship leader this morning, our head elder this morning, every single one of them came from Cary Alliance Church. God has used you to display His great works in ways that we may not understand. So here's my call to action. This is how I want to close and challenge you this morning, Cary Alliance Church. And I snagged a picture off of the internet to give a picture here. Here at Cary Alliance Church, God does great things that we cannot comprehend. He's already doing it. And just as He's doing it already in Garner, He wants to continue to do great things that we may not understand. What God is calling us to as a church, as His people individually and corporately, is to continue to trust Him that He is working out His purposes among us, to praise Him and extol His name for all that He is doing, because He is worthy of our praise, not just for who He is, but also for what He's doing. Continue, as Elihu told Job, to continue to listen to Him. He's still moving. He's still guiding. He's still speaking to us. And then in the CMA, our denomination, we have core values. The seventh core value is this: to take faith-filled risks. Achieving God's purposes means taking faith-filled risk, and this always involves change. You did that. And my challenge to you is to continue to do that. Because as you do that, as you listen to His voice, as you trust Him, as you step out in faith, He will work and move in great ways that you may not understand. But as you do that, you will be able to fall on your face before Him and say, God, thank You for how You have moved. And this morning, I want to thank You for how You've moved, but also I want to end our time by thanking God for how He's moved. Will you pray with me? God, we come before You corporately to say thank You. Thank You for how You have done great things. Not always seemingly good things, but You have in Your mercy and Your divine wisdom have done great things that we have not understood. And today we celebrate. Next Sunday we celebrate in Garner. But God, in our own lives, whether it be in celebration or whether it be in sorrow and hardship, God, help us to remember that You, in the storm and in the clear sky, in the hard times and the good times, in the hardship and in the blessing, You are still the same. You are sovereign, Lord, and You are doing great things that we cannot comprehend. Thank You for how You have been doing great things here at Cary Alliance. Thank You for how You have been doing great things at Faith Community. And thank You, Lord, for showing us in countless evidences Your hand, Your merciful and loving and guiding hand. Continue to teach us through storms, through the weather. Continue to teach us from Your word. Continue to teach us from the evidences all around our lives that we can trust You. Remind us to praise You. Give us ears to hear Your voice and guide us into taking faith-filled risks that will sometimes hurt, but will be for Your glory and Your honor. God, we do all that we do in the name of Jesus. Help us to be ever mindful of the reason why we're here, to live for You, to bring glory and honor to You, and to find our great joy in living for You. And God, I pray that Your name would continue to be proclaimed powerfully from this pulpit for many, many, many years to come, and in Garner for many, many years to come. And God, I pray that You would move us as Your people to see where You want us to go next, to proclaim Your good news next in a community that needs a gospel-minded, spirit-filled, word-empowered proclaiming church. So, Lord, would You do that in us? Would You continue to move mightily in ways that we cannot understand, for Your name's sake? We pray this in Christ's precious and holy name. Amen.